Question, just one. Yeah.
Kendrin Poche. The two conception of self or phenomena and conception of self. The conception of a self of a person. In the root text, it says that these two conceptions of self are differentiated by the mode of apprehension and not by way of its observed object. I just couldn't get it when they say by way of its observed object. I wonder what that is. Can you please explain?
We are assuming that you are asking about that the paragraph on page 22, yeah, related to the autonomy school.
I understand by mode of apprehension, but I don't understand by way of observed object. What object are they referring to? So, in the root text, so on page 22, isn't it? Just the paragraph before outline 7.
The two conceptions of self, they are the conception of a self of person and the conception of a self of phenomena, yeah. So these are the two conceptions of a self. So these two conceptions of self are differentiated by way of their mode of apprehension. So the thing that distinguishes these two conceptions of a self is their respective mode of apprehension. Yeah. And not because of their observed object, yeah. So the two conceptions of self, the conception of self of person and conception of the self of phenomena, these two conceptions are not differentiated by way of the observed object. And so that is the statement, yeah. And the proof for that comes, you know, because through observing the basis, the person, and apprehending it to be truly existent, then it is a conception of self or phenomena. And through observing the same basis, which is the person, but apprehending it to be self-sufficient, substantially existent, then that conception becomes a conception of a self or person, isn't it?
Yeah, that I understand.
So the proof here is given on the basis of one observed object, and the observed object is the person, yeah. In relation to the person, depending on the mode of apprehension, then the conception could either be the conception of a self of person or a conception of a self of phenomena, yeah. But these two conceptions here have the same observed object, which is the person, isn't it? So the observed object here is the person, isn't it? But the mind which apprehends that person to be truly existent, that mind becomes a conception of a self of phenomena. Yeah. But apprehending the same observed object, the person, to be self-sufficient, substantially existent, makes that conception a conception of a self of person. Yeah. Correct, no? But these... So the conception of self of person and conception of self of phenomena, these are two, they are different, yeah. But, you know, in this case, they have the same observed object, the person, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, one more.
In the notes, it says that existing by way of his own character, coming from his own side, and the uncommon mode of subsistence are equivalent in the notes. In the lecture notes. That the existing from his own side, existing by way of his own character, coming from his own side, and the uncommon mode of a subsistence are the same. Are they different?
In what context?
Last one, I didn't get what is that.
Okay, the thing is that I read that it is equivalent, these three things.
Which book?
Which one?
Which book? Which?
Oh, the lecture notes given to us under the Autonomy Middleway School. It says they are the same. But then, okay, I mean, I read that they were the same, but the table splits them up.
You read one more. Of which one you read?
Okay. The table splits them up. So I think it was already explained before the difference, but I am still finding it difficult to see the difference between existing by way of his own character and existing from his own side. I still have problems finding the difference.
From which schools, which tenet?
Well, now that we are doing autonomy middle way school, they would be considered the same.
No.
Or are they different? Yeah. So they look like. So that my problem is that, you know, they are supposed to be the same, right? But depending on the on the school.
No, this is on is in the chart.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, it's just that. It's a bit tough to see the difference, you see, for the autonomy middle way school.
Between,
I mean, it's just difficult.
Between true existence and?
Not true existence. Existing by way of his own character and coming from his own side.
According to the chart, it's exactly the same. This just a different way of saying talking about the same thing. Same meaning, yeah?
Same meaning.
Exactly same meaning, yeah, the chart.
Okay, so it's exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
For autonomy middle way school. Okay, so it's exactly the same.
The only thing different is the true existence, yeah.
Wrong one and two. Wrong singing to the
same. The not chipper. Tamari Hula. The. Zero.
랑이 통 말이 왜 도대체? 네. We haven't called you come already. Okay.
You must ask yourself. You must answer yourself. I'm not going to answer. Press
and hold. Okay.
So my question is, why is it that the true existence of a person, the view of true existence of a self, doesn't give rise to afflictions and delusions? Like, the reason why I say that is that it says here that for autonomy in middle way school, the hearer, having taken conceptions of apprehending self-sufficient substantial person together with retinue as a major object of abandonment, attained a small enlightenment. So meaning that he still has a view of a true existence of a self-person. So doesn't that, having that view of a true self-person actually gives rise to afflictions like everything existing self also gives rise to afflictions. Yeah. So he shouldn't be able to achieve enlightenment.
That's why there's the next school. Yeah.
I didn't get again one more. What your question?
Okay, my question is, it says here that the hearer's lineage actually attains small enlightenment by abandoning conceptions of apprehending the self-sufficient, substantially existing person. So when he abandons that, he still has a view of true existence of self-person.
Yeah.
So my question is, why doesn't that give rise to afflictions which prevents him from living cyclic existence, actually? Because we know that a view of an inherently existing person actually gives rise to.
Are you asking why is the conception of a person as truly existent not an afflictive obscuration?
Yes. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
Can you answer?
Sorry?
Can you answer now?
Can you answer now?
You ask the question, you answer for that.
I think I know what they meant, but I'm not so convinced. I'm not very convinced by what the Ottomani Midway is saying.
I see.
That it is a that true existence of a self, a person, is actually a self or phenomena. Yeah. I'm not so convinced with that.
Say something. For this question, what is it? You got this question, yeah?
So for the...
Should make the short and powerful answer.
To attain liberation, you do not need to abandon the conception of that which is established by way of its own uncommon mode of a subsistence without being posited through the force of appearing to a non-defective awareness. So you just need to abandon person being self-sufficient, substantially existent. This is how they assert the different levels of selflessness. So for them, there's no need to abandon this apprehension of true existence in order to attain liberation. For them.
What?
For them, there's no need to abandon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You happy with switching? You happy with the answer? Huh? Not happy. Okay. We have one to try. Yeah. Jokjin, Gokjin, Jokjin. Yeah. Answer to Suikim question. Yeah.
Basically, his question is. This is what I thought his question was. Why conceiving a person to be truly existent, why is that conception not considered an afflictive obscuration?
Is that your question?
Basically, I think... He's
not really asking that, is
it?
I don't think so, you're asking directly that one. Maybe indirectly, but your question is not that. If I'm not wrong, it's because Tanda Ani Niran Namji, that concept of Namakomjus, Sorchene, and Nindoga Changju Tokuyores. Nindoga Changju Toba Yinaya, and that Tiju Lani, and
concerted
to the Timberlo to your own.
So Suikim is basically saying, how can it be possible that he achieved the liberation when he still conceives the person to be truly existent?
According to the what called this dispute, the autonomous school.
Yeah, wrong. That's like.
Yeah, they are wrong, but we have to answer according to autonomous school. How they are correct. Now you are in autonomous school, not in high school. You must answer according to that.
Defend the guilty.
Ayo.
Support the, what called this? Support the course of that. Baba Vibhaga. Baba Vibhaga school. Yeah. Now you straighten up that now. Yeah.
Assistant inherently.
Please.
It's because I don't know how to.
Okay. Yeah, want to try? Yeah, Regina, try. No? Yeah, Cecilia.
If you accept that, then there's no self of phenomena for the Bodhisattva to be like.
No need to read that.
There's no self of phenomena for the Bodhisattva. Then every, all the details will be one.
He was asking this in relation to the hearer lineage, right?
Yes.
He's asking according to hearer lineage why realizing this person being empty of being is. Enough, is it? Is enough for being liberated? Was that the question? I don't see him. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just thinking like maybe for the hearer lineage at that level, they don't see a subtler level of the self of persons beyond a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. So once you have realized that, then that's it. You know, you have completed your path, so to speak. I'm just talking about the self of persons, not the self of phenomenon in this context, yeah? Because his question related to the self of person only, right? So I'm just thinking they cannot conceive of a subtler self of person beyond a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. That's why we have the view of the consequence middle way school, because they are saying that there is even a subtler level of the self of persons than just a self-sufficient, substantially existent person.
So the essence question is although the hearers have said to have achieved liberation after abandoning the conception of the self or person, right? But because the hearer still apprehends the self to be truly existent, and therefore actually the hearer arhat has not actually abandoned the afflictions completely.
So
in essence basically he's saying that according to the autonomy of Vidhuvi school, the hearer arhat, according to the autonomy of Vidhuvi school, the hearer arhat is not actually an arhat. Because haven't abandoned the afflictions. Yeah, so because in the continuum of the arhat, there's still the conception of true existence, isn't it? So there's still afflictions. Right?
So now, what's the answer?
So now Benny is coming to rescue me.
So according to them, even for the mind-only school, yeah, there is the same situation. Conception of objects as subject and object as being different entities. Mm. will not be necessary for somebody wishing to attain liberation. So it's the same situation. So I think for both of these schools, so long as the person who is wishing to attain liberation has achieved the realization of this self-sufficient or emptiness of self-sufficient sufficient person, even though there is external object appearing or truly existent object appearing to such a person, does not ascend to, does not, you know, believe in such, yeah. Such a person will not be affected, all right? Not be affected by this appearance of true existence, and will not be affected by appearance of external objects.
Mm.
So therefore, for them, they assert that, you know, because of this, they will not generate afflictions. Therefore, they will be able to abandon the obscurations to liberation.
Before it's good, now it's getting worse.
So I'm trying to understand. Yeah, I know the problem is appearance of true existence and not assenting to it. That one is the part is contradictory.
First,
yeah.
First he lived like that's quite good. Yeah. And the second, he explained that.
So not able to break down that part, how they do not ascend to the appearance of true existence and external object for it to become an affliction.
Yeah, so because essentially you are saying that the hearers and the solitary realizers, you know, are not harmed by the appearance of true existence.
You are saying something like that. That is untrue. Not true. Yeah.
So they can be harmed by appearance of.
So until whoever has not generated the direct antidote to that conception, you know, the direct antidote being the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, yeah, will be harmed by the conception. Yeah.
So, but then they are still, for them, they still are very confident to attain liberation. For them.
Yeah, so that's the question now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So although I mean, you know, from their perspective, although they say that you know, as long as they abandon the conception of self, a person, you know, then, you know, they can achieve liberation. Yeah, from their perspective, yes. But then you added that they achieve liberation, but at the same time, they still have the appearance of true existence, and they have the conception of true existence. Yet they cannot be harmed by it. So that cannot be the case, yeah. Because yes, they have the conception of true existence, and they are harmed by it. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I push it? Can I try?
Cry?
Try. I think to me it's a very simple way of looking at it. Because for this lower school other than the consequent middle way school, right? In order to achieve liberation, one just need to realize the selflessness of person. And the conception that Sui Kim is talking about, the grasping at true existence, is in fact a self of phenomena. So Therefore, there's no need to realize the emptiness of self of phenomena. Realize the emptiness of truly existing person, because the grasping at truly existing a person in the context of autonomy middle way school. In fact, is the self of phenomena, which is an obstruction to omniscience.
That we know, yeah. That we know, yeah.
You begin and say somewhere there. Yeah. Huh? You got to see him? I still not.
Nindu reason, Nindu don't want to talk to you. 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 So, in the first place, we have to be clear about the different tenets, right? All of them have their respective presentation, has a respective presentation on what exactly is the self of person and self of phenomena, isn't it? So, in the first place, you have to be clear. You have to be very clear what are the respective presentations. Yeah. We also have to know their respective presentation of what constitutes an afflictive obscuration and what constitutes a knowledge obscuration.
Yeah.
All the tenets say that in order to become a full destroyer, an arhat, one must have destroyed, conquered the afflictions. Yeah. So they're all the same in saying that. But of course, the what constitutes the afflictions, you know, what constitutes the afflictions, then of course there is the difference between the tenets. Then from the Yogic Autonomy Middleway School, from the Yogic Autonomy Middleway School's perspective, the Sutra Autonomy Middleway, or Middleway Autonomy. I will just stick with the Sanskrit. But according to the Sautantrikas, Manimikas, they posit the afflictive obscurations to be the conception of a self of person, which is the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. And the afflictions that are produced by that conception, well, these are considered to be, posited to be the afflictive obscurations. Yeah, but of course the main one, the root, yeah, the main affliction, the root of all the afflictions, of course, is the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. Yeah.
간사랑 제트베 제일 있으면 진바 스토카나 이몸에 타셔지 따디샤야.
So according to this tenet, yeah, such a conception of a person as being self-sufficient, substantially existent, is the most subtle affliction in that can ever exist. Okay, so the root affliction, the main afflictive obscuration is the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, right? And therefore, the antidote has to be the mind, or the mind which realizes the emptiness of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. Okay, so one first has to generate such a realization, the realization of the emptiness of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. And after once that realization is generated, then one familiarizes with what one has already realized. And through that, then one is said to be able to destroy the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. And when that conception is destroyed, one achieves the status of a full destroyer, or arhat.
Yeah.
So when one achieves the status of full destroyer, one becomes an arhat. The afflictions together with their seeds are destroyed. So essentially, the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person together with its seeds are destroyed. Yeah, so they achieve, they become a full destroyer. So once the conception and its seeds are destroyed, then there's no way it is impossible for that individual to experience any more afflictions. So when one achieves one becomes a full destroyer, you can say that, that individual has overcome, conquered, and destroyed all the afflictions. Yeah, has abandoned completely the afflictions. But then, of course, then the question comes on something like what Sui King brought up earlier, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. The person in the arhat has overcome or vanquished all the afflictions, but nevertheless, the arhat, because he or the individual hasn't realized the emptiness of true existence, therefore, that individual still has in his or her continuum the conception of true existence. Isn't it? So, so then if you ask, does does the arhat has the concession of true existence? Then what are you going to say? You have no choice but to say yes, right? Well, have to, right? And definitely you have to say yes, yeah. But then, at the same time, you would also have to say that, but there's no fault in saying that the arhat has already abandoned all the afflictions. Although the arhat has the conception of true existence, but the arhat doesn't have any more afflictions, because he or she has already destroyed the afflictions, and the conception of true existence is not posited to be an afflictive obscuration. Well, of course, we're not talking from the perspective of the autonomy of the way school. Okay. So in order to answer that question that Sri Kim brought up, you just have to say, you know, that according to this tenet, the conception of true existence is not an afflictive obscuration, so there's no contradiction in that the Arhat has already abandoned the afflictions. Yes, he still has the conception of true existence, but that is an knowledge obscuration. Well, this is how the autonomists, this is what the autonomists would say, you know? Right?
How would they explain that the conception of true existence, or believing in or assenting to the conception of true existence, will not generate afflictions in the mind for those who have abandoned the afflictive obscurations? Appearance of true existence and believing in this appearance, how would they explain that this would not allow them to generate afflictions in their mind? Do they have explanation on this, Kwam?
So they will say that, oh, the root of attachment is conceiving the person to be self-sufficient, substantially existent. Conceiving the person to be self-sufficient, substantially existent. So if you destroy the root, then you're not going to have any attachment and the afflictions. This is what they will say.
This would mean that they will not be harmed by the conception of true existence. For someone who wish to achieve liberation,
no,
you won't be harmed by conception of true existence, which was what I said earlier. For someone who wishes to achieve liberation, conception of true existence.
So are you saying that the conception of true existence does not harm?
For someone who...
Because we
will not harm an arhat from not becoming an arhat.
Oh, yeah.
We will not harm somebody who has already achieved.
So, does the conception of true existence harm or not?
Your statement is that...
Because you seem to be saying that the conception of true existence doesn't harm the arhat.
From being an arhat? Harm him from being a Buddha, yes. But remaining as an arhat, he will not harm him.
So harm, right?
Okay. Huh? Harm him from being a Buddha. But because Sri Kim says that, how does that not harm the arhat? He didn't say, how does it not harm him becoming a Buddha? Yes, Sri Kim?
Yeah, Sri Kim cannot imagine how he can be an arhat when you still conceive true existence, right? Basically, that's, yeah. Talk now.
One question, please, Ken Rinpoche. I'm just wondering, when we look at the chart of the selflessness of phenomenon, why is it that only, according to that chart, only the yogic yogic middle way school, posit a course, self of phenomena. None of the other tenets, of course, the Hinayana tenets don't posit self of phenomena at all, but for the Mahayana tenets, only the yogic middle way school posits a coarse self of phenomena, and I'm not sure why that is the case.
No choice they have. They have no choice.
Coarse self of phenomena.
Yeah.
And because under middle way school, of course, the what is posited as coarse self of phenomena is posited to be subtle self of phenomena by mind only school. Yeah. But and even the sutra autonomy middle way school does not posit a core self of phenomenon, nor does the consequence middle way school. So if Ken Rinpoche can kindly clarify why that is the case.
That's my own.
Don't have reason. Don't have reason. So, call it insecure. That's all.
전전분이 누군 지구를.
대파 최종수나 죽이 담에 태워다면 되게 차가디 이것도 와 대파 심을 죽이 담에 다시. 다 선전을 시하는 수동수는 제대로 동안수도 가나 죽이 담에 다시
다시.
저기 다음에 라바스니 남자 욕이 한 말입니다. 아직 되지.
Well, it's clear that the minor tenets are. It's clear that the Hinayana tenets do not assert a self or phenomena. Right? So the minor tenets assert a self or phenomena, and therefore a selflessness of phenomena. Yeah. And then if we start with the mind-only school, the first of the minor tenets, yeah, they only posit subtle selflessness of or deposit a subtle self of phenomena, yeah, which is the conception of object and subject as different substances. Yeah. For them, that is the most subtle conception of a self or phenomena.
다티네스 따라주바 다티네스 우마라주바스나 추기다메 타모세디 소단수스다메 제타리 또한 추기다메 타모세네라주바 수직쇼구요 말해 추기다메 타모스나 아니 대벌주베 또한 추기다메 타모라서 샤이 그와 단주베 샤도 독세
Then you have the autonomous, the middle way autonomous, yeah. There isn't a single middle way autonomous who will posit that the conception of object and subject as being as different substances to be the subtle self of phenomena. Right? All the autonomies posit the conception of true existence to be the subtle self of phenomena, isn't it? All autonomies.
저기 때문에 탐험님 말해. 다 저기 그래. 저기 때문에 락바도 없이.
저기는 그러고. 저기다.
저다.
저다.
저다. 락바도 없이 시작했지. 다 탐험을 두고 말해. 다 소등 수준 참았다. 제자들 또한이 두고 말해. 다 소등 제자들 지금 진반이 다 저기 당시 락바도 없이 하지. 다 내 지시를 그만하지.
Okay, so all the middle way autonomies said that the conception of true existence to be the self of phenomena. Or conception of self phenomena, yeah. But then you have the yogi autonomy middle way school who do assert that there is the conception of object and subject as different entities. Yeah. And therefore for them, they assert that this conception is a coarse conception of a self or phenomena.
어떻습니까? 다 지들 믿음의 자리요래. 지들 믿어버린다.
Because the yogic middle way autonomy is do not assert external objects, just like the mind only, isn't it? So then with respect to the conception of object and subject as being different substances, then for the yogic autonomy middle way school, then such a conception would become a conception of a self or phenomena, isn't it? But it is not the subtle. It's not the conception of a subtle self phenomena. So it was the conception of a cause self or phenomena. Then the question then will likely arise, isn't it? And the question will be, then what about the sutra middle way autonomies? Why do they not assert the cause self of phenomena? Because they are similar with the Sutra school in that they assert external objects, isn't it? And because they assert external objects just like the Sutra school, so the Sutra middle way autonomies will not assert that there is a conception, they will not assert an object abandonment that is a conception of a self, conception of object and subject as being different substances, isn't it? And since they do not assert such a conception, so therefore they do not assert a self of phenomena other than the subtle self of phenomena, isn't it? Yeah, so. Huh? Oh, okay.
No, I'm just not very clear in my own school. About non-mistaken consciousness as well as viewing things dualistically.
What?
Can a non-mistaken consciousness view phenomena dualistically?
Non-mistaken
consciousness view phenomena
dualistically.
Yeah.
View objects unmistakenly or mistakenly.
Dualistically.
Dualistically.
Why you ask the question?
For example,
why the doubt came there? Why?
Because it seems like mistaken for different schools seems to be different. But for example, impotential compounded phenomena, uncompounded phenomena.
Especially talk about branding space.
Yeah. So it is not really realized by a sense consciousness, right? Okay, for example, absence of permanence. Yeah. It is in relation to realizing something as impermanent. Right? But absence of permanence is actually a permanent phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Then?
And then you only a your superior being realizes impermanence directly. Subtle impermanence.
From my own school view.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So in that sense, he will realize the absence of permanence at the same time. So that realization, the yogi direct perceiver realizing the absence of permanence, is actually a direct valid cognizer realizing an imputational nature.
Mm-hmm.
But external object doesn't appear. But is it dualistic? Because the absence of permanence is actually imputational nature, it's not. And it's a conventional truth. So just what I'm learning. Because he says clearly in the text that yogic direct perceivers are necessarily non-mystical.
Basically, your illustration is yogic direct perceiver directly realizing permanence.
Absence of permanence.
That means yogic direct perceiver implicitly realizing impermanence.
Yeah.
Yogic direct is
implicitly realizing.
I cannot talk properly. Yogic direct perceiver that realizes impermanence.
Yeah.
That yogi direct perceiver realizes permanence also, you're saying?
Yeah. Okay, it's different. Okay. Absence of permanence is actually a permanent phenomenon. So it's actually...
Absence of permanence, yes.
Yeah, it's a permanent phenomenon.
It's a construct imputational.
So, and it is an existent imputational nature. So there is a realization of that. Right?
So yogi direct perceiver directly realizing imputational... nature. Okay, then.
So, and that, for that kind of consciousness, external object doesn't appear, right? It's just an absence. Does it? So, would it be dualistic?
So, you're saying, oh, the three, that one is missing.
Hello?
Basically, lah.
No.
Back to the last class, right?
Actually, at first, I didn't think of that. At first, I think of dream elephant, actually. Because dream elephant is not...
I'm
always dreaming. My first illustration was a dream elephant. Then it evolved into impunational nature. So, yeah, if an unmistaken consciousness can also be a dualistic, then why not? You know, yogi direct perceiver realizing absence of permanence will not have external object appearing, right?
So you're basically trying to ask if non-mistaken consciousnesses have dualistic appearances or can have dualistic appearances or not, right? Non-mistaken consciousness or can have dualistic appearances or not, right?
The answer is yes.
Okay, so answer the question. Pardon? Yeah, so answer Cecilia's question.
What did she answer for you? What did you say?
Answer her question on Tuesday. Oh, answer your question, sorry. It's an illustration that, you know, as an object doesn't appear. Can? Imputational nature that is existent is conventional truth. But I'm not too sure whether it's conventional. Actually, what is conventional phenomena?
Think about the definition of a conventional truth. Well, according to the mind-only school, which is similar also in the autonomy in the way school, that which is realized through the subsistence of dualistic appearance by a very direct perceiver that directly realizes it. Yeah. So by direct, it says. Realized by the direct perceiver that directly realizes it, yeah. So the direct perceiver is not mistaken, isn't it? But if it, but the conventional truth is that object is realized, the realization is accompanied by dualistic appearances, isn't it?
So it can be, I'm missing conscious, can be dualistic.
No, unless your direct perceiver can be mistaken. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no.
So, actually, what's conventional phenomenon? What's conventional phenomenon?
What? You ask? Huh? What is conventional phenomenon?
You know, there's a convention truth, but then appearance as conventional phenomenon.
Conventional truth, conventional phenomena, sama.
One more. Dream elephant, not an external object, right? Actually, in Sutra school, it's not really dream elephant is a phenomenal source form. It's not really aggregated by partless particle. But then, when is there an appearance as an external object, dream elephant, in a dream?
What?
Okay, dream elephant is not aggregation of partless particle, right? So in that sense, it's not really the atomically established phenomena. But would you, when we have a, you know, when we dream of a dream elephant, is it an appearance as external object?
You are asking whether the dream elephant is a... Basically, what you're trying to find out is whether the dream elephant is an external object or not. Right? So you're asking from which school's perspective? Huh? It's a dress school, you know. Why do you want to say that it is from the mind only school's perspective? Because in the first place, mind only school, there's no external object. What? So I mean, it's possible to have an appearance of an external dream elephant. I mean, a dream elephant that is, yeah, you know, like something there. There can be such an appearance, right? Yeah, so it's possible to, in dreaming, it's possible to, there to be an appearance of an external elephant. Yeah, because from the mind, if you're talking about it from the mind only school's perspective, it's very easy, no need to think. Immediately you can say, no, there's no external object, right? Huh? Appearance? Yeah, but when we dream, anything and everything can appear, isn't it? And it appears like from the side of the object, is something coming from the side of the object, isn't it? So therefore, it is possible to dream, to have an appearance of an external elephant in a dream, no? Elephant rushing at you. So, yeah, you can say that there is an appearance of an external object. Yeah, there's no problem in saying that it is an appearance, right? So, I mean, related back to your question, yeah. I mean, it's clear in the text, according to the mind only, there are four types of direct perceivers, isn't it? So there are four types of direct perceivers, isn't it? And self-knowing direct perceivers and yogi direct perceivers are necessarily non-mistaken consciousnesses, yeah, according to mind only. Yeah. So a self-knower then would be necessarily non-mistaken, isn't it? Okay. You follow on the top of page 17. It says, according to the mind only, there are four types of direct perceivers, isn't it? Self-knowing direct perceivers and yogi direct perceivers are necessarily non-mistaken, isn't it? If a self-knowing direct perceiver is necessarily non-mistaken, then a self-knower will be non-mistaken, isn't it? So now the question is, do self-knowing direct perceivers have dualistic appearance or not? What is the definition of self-knowing, remember? That which is an aspect of the apprehender, isn't it? Do self-knowing direct perceivers have dualistic appearance or not? The question will arise, isn't it? Conventional truth. Mind's conventional truth. So it's realized with dualistic appearance. Hello? Please come back here. So, self-knowing direct perceivers, according to the Mayoni school, are necessarily non-mistaken, isn't it? Right? So the question is, whether self-knowing direct perceivers have dualistic appearances or not? Because self-knowing direct perceivers have as their object, has consciousness as their object, isn't it? Right? Remember what a self-know is? Its object is basically what it's realizing is mind, isn't it? Mind is a conventional truth or not? Mind is a conventional truth, isn't it? And what is the definition of a conventional truth? That which is realized through dualistic appearance by a valid direct perceiver that directly realizes it. Right?
Shabba Mosum to Mosum Samadhi, Rani Mosum Shahade Mari.
So is the conscious, is the valid cognizer that directly realizes a consciousness a self-knowing direct valid cognizer or not? The consciousness that directly realizes a consciousness, the mind that directly realizes a consciousness, the valid cognizer that directly realizes a consciousness, is a self-knowing direct valid cognizer or not? So consciousness is a conventional truth, isn't it? So conventional truth is that which is realized through dualistic appearance by a valid directly, by a valid direct perceiver that directly realizes it, right? So what are you going to posit to be the valid direct perceiver that directly realizes consciousness?
Sentient being don't have, you mean? Ananda.
The clairvoyance which knows another mind has dualistic appearance or not?
Of course lah. You see, that's what totally doing.
Generally the aspect that's
I don't just have time to read down here. Can I read the Tajuba next time, next class? Okay, now we don't have much time, maybe another 10, 15 minutes, we'll ask questions. Yeah.
Sure.
Any question you can ask. We stop 9:15.
Yeah. What's that iPhone? Some S4, S3,
not 2. So, okay. Just a simple question. So, my only school. All the permanent phenomena other than emptiness are existent imputational nature, right? All the permanent phenomena other than emptiness are existent imputational nature. Right? Then, question, does that, then does that mean uncompounded space exists merely as being preceded by thought? If so, wouldn't that make the uncompounded space just a mental construct? Because they are imputation nature. That means uncompounded space is only imputation, that's all. No different from mental construct. Is that what they mean?
No, but, don't have to go to my only school. Sutra school already say.
Okay. But, yeah. How do you explain it? uncommoded space is just mental construct or just mental construct, or is there an uncommoded space which is not mental construct but need to be realized through the mental construct? Yeah.
Then they follow that there's infinite regression. Then they realize that, they realize that.
So uncommoded space is just mental construct. Cannot fit my mind. Do I understand?
Make your mind bigger.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to talk to you about
this. The Xin Jiao also must ask question.
Now you ask now.
So the new birds must train, exercise, in asking questions. So you can ask anything. It doesn't matter whether it is rubbish or not. You can ask anything. Yeah, except no. That's my own construct.
How does the autonomy middle way school, other than refute mind only school's establishment by way of its own character of the external object, other than saying that it is not realized by a valid cognizer, similarly, how does the consequent middle way school refute the autonomy middle way school and the mind only school for the same question?
Can you repeat?
How do the higher school refute the lower schools, other than of being able to find the object, other than saying that it is not found by a valid cognizer? In other words, basically, essentially, my point is, how do the higher school refute the lower school?
How do the higher school refute the lower school's presentation of the object of negation?
Findability of the object.
Object of negation.
Not object negation, because for them, findability is not an object of negation. The lower school. Objects can be found. So how do the higher school refute the lower school in that respect? Other than saying that it cannot be found by... Because the general reply would be it is not found by a valid cognizer.
Only the consequence middle way school refutes the findability of objects. Yeah. Only them. Yeah, because the rest of them are same one. Right? They said that things are findable. I mean, there's existence from his own side. Yeah. Yeah. So, this object of negation, no?
Yeah, so for the autonomy middle way school, they are more subtle. In that sense, they refute the assertion of the mind only school. Okay. So basically, they refute that there is true existence. I mean, this, bearing the reply from my last question about how it is more subtle, by Kenrovich's reply about the afflictions generated by the mind. Okay, so I'm still having this difficulty how they refute this, objects to be true existent. And then for the consequent middle way school, how do they refute the two schools' findability of objects?
What?
How do the higher school refute the lower school's assertion? Like the autonomy middle way school refuting the mind only school's assertion of true establishment. Because for the mind-only school, true establishment truly is true establishment is not refuted for the mind-only school. They accept. Yeah. But the autonomy middle school refute them. Mm-hmm. And then the consequent middle way school refute the two schools, autonomy middle school and mind-only school, object being established by way of own character.
Yeah.
Other than saying that it's not realized by a valid colonizer.
Because, how do they refute that?
Yeah. Other than saying they are not realized by a valid colonizer.
One more. I didn't get your exact question.
Okay, actually, there are two here.
First one is...
Are you saying how does the autonomy in the middle way school refute true existence?
Yeah. In short, true existence. Yes. Other than saying about what Ken Rinpoche replied the other time, because Ken Rinpoche did reply, but say indirectly that, you know, but there's I wouldn't say official stand, but the common refutation by the autonomy in the way schools towards the Mayoni school's assertion of true existence. Common refutation.
What other avenues of reasoning are there to refute true existence other than saying that it is not realized by a valid colonizer?
Yeah, basically that's what I...
So only today, that Tampu Karsina, the Sunday is Chiganta, Shawan Temper to Paris. Shawan, so
Shawan.
Shawan Temper to Paris, Kayanis, Sunday. But he thought of that, I do. Uma Bekama, the Shawan Temper to him, Shawan Tartu Satya, Senda Shachi. So Sindhi Shachi, the Sunday Temper to him, Uma Bekama.
So the mind-only school assert true existence, yeah. And mainly in connection with other power phenomena. Yeah. The middle way school refutes that because from the middle way school's perspective, the positing of other power phenomena has the root in the mind, you know. And the mind, according to the middle way school, is not truly existent. So you understand the implication? If the mind is not truly existent, then So, of course, the middle way school's refutation of true existence covers all phenomena. Because for them, everything that exists does not exist truly, right? But in particular, this is a refutation against the mind-only school's view that the mind is truly existent. Yeah. So mainly they're refuting that the mind is truly existent. Okay, so according to the mind-only school, many things are truly existent, yeah. Especially the mind, yeah, is truly existent. But what is their take? What do they understand by true existence? The mind-only schools. The mind-only school take on true existence is that phenomena are not merely imputed by thought. Phenomena, those things that are truly existent, are not merely imputed by thought, but they exist from their own side. These two must come to, you know, this whole phrase, yeah? That's the meaning of true existence. Not merely imputed by thought, but existing from his own side. In the first place, you're clear on that or not? Everybody talks about true existence, but they have their own different take on it, isn't it? So the mind-only school's understanding of true existence is this. Not merely imputed by thought, but not merely imputed by thought, but existing from his own side. That is the meaning of true existence according to mind only. Then according to the middle way school, in general, the middle way school asserts that phenomena are imputed by mind. Phenomena do not exist truly. Phenomena are imputed by mind. The general assertion of the middle way schools. So according to the middle way school, in general, phenomena are merely imputed by mind, which means that there isn't a single object or single existence that exists without being merely imputed by mind.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the general procedure of the middle way schools. And of course, you know the middle way schools, there are two divisions, yeah. So now we are at the autonomous middle way. How do they explain this, yeah? So they explain that phenomena exist as merely imputed by mind. But how do they explain this? According to the middle way autonomies, phenomena are posited through the force of them appearing to a consciousness. So phenomena cannot be posited. You cannot talk about thing an existence without it appearing to a consciousness. Yeah. And this is the meaning of imputation by mind. And this particular assertion of the autonomy middle way school is a criticism, is an attack or refutation of the mind only school's position. What is the mind only school's understanding of true existence? Not merely imputed by thought, but existing from its own side, isn't it? You don't see the link? The middle way school got two divisions, right? But all of them are same in saying that phenomena are merely imputed by mind, isn't it? But how do the autonomies explain that phenomena are merely imputed by mind? So according to the autonomies, they say that phenomena are merely posited through them, through the very phenomena appearing to a consciousness. And that is how you posit it, you know? Of course, in this case, the non-defective awareness are right. Okay, so there isn't any phenomena that can exist from his own side, under his own power, which he says established by way of his own uncommon mode of existence, without it appearing to a consciousness. Oh, such a thing is not possible, basically. Okay. So according to the Ptolemies, if there is anything that you can point out that you can say that, oh, that thing, you know, exists, you know, is established by way of its own uncommon mode of existence from its own side, without it appearing to a non-defective awareness. Oh, if there's such a thing, then that phenomenon is truly existent. But according to the autonomies, there isn't such a thing. Because if you assert true existence, then they will tell you, oh, this is the whole list of problems. Oh, you know, this, that. So there's this logic and reasoning to this. Yeah. So, you know, then there comes a whole list of reasoning to refute true existence. Many different kinds of systems of reasoning. It's very complicated.
Shorter. One sentence. One sentence. I'm getting longer. Tere, ato da tere, simsimbe, dambar tuba ase, tse diha okudwa. Tope, ta samay marangone, tuba di, simsimbe, dambar tuba, tse la shaya. Dambar tuba, yosik. Ta, uma pe, dambar tuba, tse di, yomaris. Ta, chodam, tope, ta samre, sika, te taarita.
My only school assert true existence or not? Hello? Huh? Yes, sure. So according to them, true existence means existing true existence means not merely imputed by mind, by thought, but existing from its own side. That's the meaning of true existence, yeah. Isn't it? So basically, according to the My Only School, there are many things that exist from their own side, and they are not merely imputed by thought, but they do exist from their own side. So this is true existence, right? And My Only School asserts there is true existence, right? The autonomies refute that. Basically, that's it. So the middle way school. So the middle way school, the general procedure of the middle way school is that, I mean, the general assertion of the middle way school is that, you know, there isn't a single object, event, or phenomenon that exists without being merely imputed by thought. Everything that exists is merely imputed by thought, by mind, yeah.
Okay, there's the summary. Okay.
It's good that we have questions, no? But the new those who just enrolled into the basic program, and you are the one who should be asking more questions. You should put more effort in asking more questions, yeah. Because now it's like most of the time it's always the older students, yeah, who are asking the questions, yeah. And sometimes, they tend to ask too many questions, yeah.
So I encourage the new one. So must put some effort to ask question. Yeah. Can be simple question. Yeah. Sometimes the senior ask a difficult question, and you don't get anything. Huh? So better ask yourself question, then you get something. Yeah. So what I notice, this call senior. Yeah. They ask me questions. So you don't get in what I'm talking. So better, the new one must ask questions. Okay? That's your homework. prepare a question, then ask when there's an opportunity. If nobody wants to ask, then okay, then senior come and ask. All right.
Don't outsource it. Okay. Here, finish off.